God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Reed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Greetings and salutations, my friends. Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Hovering Saucer Pod, sailing on the cosmic winds to there and back again. Tonight we're hovering inside the lines of the Guardians of the Mind. Never am I more aware of the speedy passage of the days as when I have to do one of these broadcasts. It seems no time at all since the last one, demanding completion. I think a couple of days have been removed from what used to be a week. My life is no easy affair these days due to the rely-on-me factor. What happens when the rely-on-me factor comes to demand full compliance is that everything becomes a test of that very thing, and if you don't catch it right away, then it goes south until you feel the burn. Endless encouragements attend the rituals and routines of consistent failure. Sometimes it appears that rely-on-me is impossible, and sooner or later one will realize that and just permanently give up on everything as, well, being too much trouble. Just too much trouble, and maybe that is rely-on-me. Part of the problem with the metaphysical is that the meaning we give to things here is not exactly and sometimes not remotely the same thing there. Let me illustrate a very important thing that all human entities should be aware of. I'll try to sketch it out. Bear with me if I segue and digress along the way. The most critical problem with being immersed in material culture has to do with your familiarity with the landscape, your investment in the landscape, and the fact that this is the only landscape you're familiar with. The problem is that you are only temporarily here. Does anyone wish to argue with that or debate it? So now we approach a very serious disconnect. Why do people immerse themselves in something that is disappearing the moment they get here, at the cost of not having any idea of where they are bound when they leave here? Wouldn't it make sense to make all kinds of preparations for your outbound, inbound journey, or should you just remain bound here? That is the general state of condition on planet Earth. You are bound here. We are bound by a chain of desires. In the Devil card of the Authentic Tarot, there are two figures standing in front of the Baphomet, who sits on a black half-cube of ignorance. He's got bat wings, goat's feet and legs, and other improbables to indicate that he is not real, but a product of a compromised imagination. What we see is the angel of this world, but that angel is turned into an angel of light at the given moment. The two characters standing in front of him, male and female, have chains around their necks. These chains are joined by a chain that connects to the block of ignorance. The chains around their necks are loose. They could slip them right off if they wanted to, but perhaps they don't know this because they're ignorant. That would make sense, eh? They have tails, and the ends of them are on fire. This refers to improper channeling of the sex force, or, if you wish, the desire nature in general, but as I've pointed out on occasion, everything is sex. The improper channeling of the sex force results in bondage. It also results in death, without following consciousness. Along very important lines. Proper channeling of the sex force results in liberation. You would think, then, that all these celibate priests and other yahoos would be in line and online for realization and liberation, but we have to consider what real brahmacharya is. It takes place in the mind. The key to continence is in the mind. Without correct practice in this regard, you cannot become as a little child. In keeping with success being speedy for the energetic, I should point out that in the Hindu tradition, there are various roles that one plays during the earth's tenure. One of them is called householder. This is a period when the man lives with a woman, raises children, and conducts his affairs in the world. But since we are all temporary here, all of these roles are temporary. So when a man reaches the age of 65, he leaves his family. He leaves them cared for, and he goes on the road as a pilgrim, or he migrates to some location to contemplate the divine. The purpose is to surrender to the divine in this period. I'm pointing this out in order to show that one does not need to live a completely celibate life through the duration of their existence. Yogis will tell you, though, that after a certain age, a man should no longer have orgasms. You need to have oil for your lamp. Why is there such a plague of pornography in these times? Why is there such an emphasis on visual titillation at this time? It is to direct the currents of one's sexual force toward perdition. Isn't anyone remotely curious about why there is such a large number of people on the planet at the moment? Wouldn't it stand to reason that there are tremendous opportunities available then? Well, that's my take. Everyone is welcome to their own reading of things. My purpose in mentioning this is to indicate that one need not spend a lifetime in celibacy to achieve the station that it relates to. This can actually be accomplished in a short space of time, according to that statement in the Bhagavad Gita about success being speedy for the energetic. One has to have a certain informed perspective while moving through this world. One's heart and mind needs to be fixed on something beyond this world while being cognizant of being in this world but not of it. People by the millions hear these catchphrases in their lives. They nod their heads and say to themselves, yes, that is so, and then they go right on as if they didn't relate to them. What is one of the primary signs of wisdom? That is when you hear about something, know it to be true, and immediately make it a permanent feature, a permanent fixture of your life. The ignorant and indifferent just pass on by, on their way to the amusements and satisfaction of appetites. The irony is that spiritual amusements and appetites result in experiences that make all terrestrial engagements pale by comparison, and I mean truly pale by comparison. I am not so dedicated as I am without having experienced this to some degree. So when I say these things, it is because I've had direct encounters with these things. I'm not the Lone Ranger. There are people far in advance of me who are capable of things the general human imagination can't even conceive of. Another interesting feature of this whole dynamic is that you get to meet some of these people in the course of your passing. There is a law of attraction that exists and which sees that we are drawn to and by people with whom we have resonance. The invisible, sympathetic strings of life vibrate. The power of aspiration should not be underestimated. There are quite a few things we should not underestimate, but which we do underestimate because we measure according to our own experiences of these things, and our experiences are composed of a very limited application of these things. People dabble. They give a certain pursuit a certain amount of their time, and when they don't get the results that they want as expeditiously as they want, they get frustrated, bored, disenchanted, and then they turn to something else. The hucksters of the New Age know all about this. They know that people want a quick fix, that people are intellectually lazy, and that people are easily distracted, which leads to browsing in another aisle. So what they do is they operate this seminar scenario where you attend for 3 weekends, and then you go for the monster 4-day intensive, and the result is that they give you a diploma-like document that states you are a master and empowered to go around and perform whatever it is that they taught them. As you've probably gathered over time here and at the blogs, I am no fan of the New Age movement. This is not to say that there are not a lot of good things there. If you are discriminating and possess an objective mindset, then you are in a position to pick and choose. But the majority of these scammers are pumpmeisters at the money well. It's a business just like any other business. It's an arena that's fleshed out with poseurs and wannabe avatars. It's rife with life coaches and mysterious auras of individuals that hint at what they might be and what they might be capable of. I hear that term life coach and I just cringe. To my mind, know thyself is the foundation stone of all spiritual progress. And that means being honest with yourself. If people decide to start putting the label of master on you, you have to look at yourself and see if there could be any truth to the matter, and you need to check out your shortcomings and see if those are the sorts of things a master might carry around. It can be fairly easy to maintain a front persona, where you monitor yourself on stage and you monitor yourself off stage in two different presences. Entertainers do this all the time, and what you're basically dealing with here are entertainers. It's not so easy to be honest with people about your deficiencies. People are willing to go along with a great deal until you screw up. Then you're in a situation because you passed yourself off as something you were not, and now you have to answer for that. However, if you had been honest with people all along, and you should happen to screw up, then the result may well be much different than otherwise. Don't try to pass yourself off as something you are not. This is the time of false prophets, and consonant with that is the walking tours of Mr. Apocalypse, whose main job is revealing things as they are, not as they seem. I'll point out another component of all of this, which is critically important, and which can be wondrously valuable. There are real masters and all sorts of highly evolved beings around, and they are watching outside of us and inside of us. They know who's zooming who, and who is lying to themselves, and they have the keys to those hidden doors that we all want to pass through. They have the power and advice to institute and accomplish change within us for positive and lasting results. Without their help, you are just going around in circles, no matter where you think you are going, because there is a deception that occurs in the minds of those who are deceiving, and that is the essential reason why you should not deceive yourself, and by extension, deceive others, and become one of those blind leading the blind. That's my biggest beef with the New Age movement. All of that smarmy optimism that makes you think of John Denver flying in an ultralight. That way of breaking down all the complexities of life into sound bites and all those endless streams of books and DVDs and master's courses that are being hawked at Louise B. Hayes' website. I cringe when people mention her to me. I cringe a lot, I guess. I saw some portion of her book that diagnosed all of the diseases and provided those Hallmark greeting card solutions to all of these maladies. Well, it's just this, and this is what you do, and it's just that, and this is, you know, and, well, I don't know which of her regular martinis she was on when she wrote that thing, but, you know, simplicity, of course, is the essence of the truth and of a real spiritual existence. But there are different kinds of simplicity, because also simpleton comes from the word simple as well, simplicity. Well, all of this is similar to what happens when you attend a tent revival meeting. This New Age is not very different from that. You get pumped up and exhilarated, and you walk out the door filled with confidence and enthusiasm, and then a few hours later, you're back where you were. It's exactly what happens when you eat junk food. An hour later, you're hungry again. And this dynamic is a telling example of the age we live in and the disposable culture that abounds around us. If you're going to swim on the surface, you are going to be surrounded by decomposing flotsam and jetsam while predators swim in the water beneath you. The watchword of these hours is to sink to the bottom of the all-forgiving sea of love, to detach from the attachment to those things that are disappearing even while you look at them. But most of us don't have that time-lapse photography capacity. We're short-term hooked into things that are essentially meaningless. The one thing you can be sure of is that if the devil is seriously active in this period in question, then the divine is also very much present but less discernible. You can see the forces of evil at work. The forces of the divine are less conspicuous. That's how it works until you are in the embrace of it, and then you see it all around you, and harmony and serenity are your enduring conditions. What is it with people that they don't put their whole heart into the great work? How is it that they allow themselves to be made cynical just because there are so many snake oil salesmen? Of course there's something there. The historical record proves that in the lives of those whose names are known to us still after the passage of hundreds and thousands of years. You can call these things myths, but how is it that the same myths, differently aspected, appear in every location in the world? Well, I don't have to worry about convincing myself because I am already thoroughly convinced through personal experience. And once again, I'm not the Lone Ranger. What it is that deters so many people is the degree of commitment required to think about it. Consider the logic of the affair. How can you have 100% success without 100% commitment? How can you achieve liberation when you're still attached to the ballast of this world? You can't rise if you have weights attached to your legs. So people move from life to life, going through some permutation of what you already went through. You want something, you get it. There is no guarantee you'll be satisfied with it in any lasting sense, and that is one of the unfortunate realities about pretty much anything you can have and convince yourself belongs to you. It goes on and on. Eventually, in some life, the insatiable spiritual hunger will bloom, and then there will be nothing that can stand between you and the true objective of all life. But between there and now, a whole lot of suffering will await, because the whole point of life is to teach you the unimportance of the temporary and the serious importance of the permanent. Why wait for the eventual lightning bolt? Why not hothouse your evolution and bypass lifetimes of agony and loss? That is a question everyone has to answer for themselves. It appears very hard to be consistent on the path, to remain constant and committed. The only reason for this is not being fully committed. Once you're fully committed, it's not that hard at all. You want to stick your toe in the water every now and then. You're going to have problems. You have to jump into that river and let the current sweep you away. You're not going to be moving under your own power, which is another reason it seems to be so hard. You're not the one doing it, and that has to become a visceral awareness. Until real surrender and true radiance is affected, you're going to be operating with degrees of difficulty. Well, there's always the quick fix in New Age junk food. Yes, it's all there once you get past the initial inertia. You have to break the hardened crust that overlays the softness beneath. It can take some due diligence. For some, it is less than for others, but lasting change and transformation are possible for nearly anyone who will avail themselves of the opportunity. In some cases, no change or transformation is possible because there are some number who are committed to the dark highway. They don't want to hear about it. For some of these, if you offer them redemption, they will kill a small child just to show you where they're at. The very best and the very worst of us are here right now. We are in the time of summing up. One thing needs to be under consideration within every individual mindset, and that is your awareness of where the power lies. Is the power of the world greater than that of the divine, or is it the other way around? If you have programmed your subconscious to believe that the world has a greater power, then you have a problem. If it is the other way around, then you don't have the fundamental problem that plagues and perplexes so many people and which seriously retards their potential for advancement. Well, greater is that which is in you than that which is in the world. And to paraphrase another, if the divine is for me, who can be against me? Well, I'm running late, folks, so I would have to say we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I may or may not see you next week, if there is one, because I'll be on the road and in places I have never seen before in this life, including places I never expected to go in this life. This tells me I'll probably experience things I haven't experienced before. I expect these to be good things. Anyway, in the meantime, it is my hope that you receive the needed guidance and flower in this time of trial, as it was intended that you should a long, long time ago. That said, Hare Krishna! Allah Akbar! Om Amitabha! Hail, Lord Jesus Christ! Greetings, Lord Bawala! My love to you, Lord Ganesha! Aloha and Aru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.